بھائی دیگر سلامات اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية ابتداء ولا لأزلية انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الدار وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. إلهي، هب لي كمال الانقطاع إليك. في المناجات الشعبانية: إلهي، هب لي كمال الانقطاع إليك وأنر أبصار قلوبنا بضياء نظرها إليك حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور وتصل إلى معدن العظمة وتصير أرواحنا معلقة بعز قدسك. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Oh my Lord, don't incline our hearts towards batil after you guided us towards the haq. Min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Certainly you are the oft giver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who guides our hearts and provides the hidayat which is needed for our success. Not only the hidayat, which is hidayatun tashri'iyya, but also the higher category of hidayat, which is hidayatun takwiniyya. And unless and until a person receives the higher category of hidayat and guidance, which is hidayat and takwiniyya, there is no way we humans can secure our spiritual success in the life of this world. And hence, if our spiritual success in the life of this world is not secured, then the same will be our status in the Alam al-Barzakh when we are laid into our graves, and the same will be our status on the Day of Judgment as we are resurrected. Because these three awalim, these three worlds, Alam al-Dunya, Alam al-Barzakh and Alam al-Qiyamah, or what we say in philosophy as alaman nasut, that means this material world, and alaman malakut, which means the world between the two worlds, which is the barzakh stage. Between the two worlds means the world of this dunya, world of this a world of this life in this material world, and the day of resurrection. The time of grave, when we are laid into the graves, is between those two worlds. That's what we call alam al-malakut. And third of all, the day of resurrection, which we refer to as alam al-jabarut. So alam al-nasut and alam al-malakut and alam al-jabarut, all three, their successes are intertwined with each other. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we have been discussing about some of those factors that ensure and help in securing our spiritual success in the life of this world. And tonight we would like to talk about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-inqita'u ila Allah. Ilahi habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk. In Munadat al-Sha'baniya, that's the dua when Sharif Muzaffari rahmatullah alayh, he asked his teacher Allama al-Tabatabai, who is the writer of the most famous tafsir in our Islamic history, Tafsir al-Mizan. Shaykh Mutahari, when he asked his teacher, Shaykh Mutahari was one of the most closest of the students of Allama al-Tabatabai, and Allama used to say that when Shaykh Mutahari used to arrive in his session for studying, Allama used to say, he said that now that person has arrived for whom I can say that he understands everything of my lesson. So not everybody was eligible to understand everything of what Allama al-Tabatabai was talking about. So obviously the amount of our understandings, how much we grasp and digest and understand, entirely depends on our taharat from the qalb, because these are all nurani teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nurani teachings require nur in the qalb and taharat in the qalb. The more we increase in our cleanliness of the soul, the more we become eligible to understand. Quran says, اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. Isn't that right? That means have the taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself provides the ta'leem. Allah provides the education. Allah teaches himself. This is what our scholars call it, al-ishraqul qalbi, the divine flash on the soul of a person. When we make ourselves clean, there is a divine flash of nur arriving from Allah, and that's how we learn. So we find Allama al-Tabatabai rightfully said that statement for his student Shaheed Mutahhari, and also Imam al-Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu, he also had said something very, very nice about his student Shaheed al-Mutahhari. Shaheed al-Mutahhari was his student as well. When Imam al-Khomeini started his Basel College, Darsa College, in Qum, in Al-Madrasa al-Faydiyya, the historic Madrasa of Qum, that's where he started his Basel College, in the room of Shaheed Mutahhari. And he had just two students in the beginning, and Shaheed Mutahhari was one of those two. Later on it figured out to be thousands of students, and his Basel College was the biggest in the house of Qum. But in the beginning it was just two students starting from the room and ghurfa of Sharif al-Mutahhari rahmatullahi alayhi. So when Sayyid Mutahhari, coming back to the point that I was discussing, when Sayyid Mutahhari asked his teacher, Allama al-Tawattabai, that what dua shall I recite in the hudud of my prayers? Well, all the du'as are great from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and are serving, du'as and ziyarat are serving as one of the best means and sources after Quran for learning the ma'arif and high level teachings of Islam. So Allama Tabatabai replied back to read this du'a which I recited at the beginning of my speech, which is an excerpt from Al-Munajatu Sha'baniya. And this is one of the beloved du'as of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi as well, because when somebody asked him which of the du'as that you like most, and that's the right question to be posed to an arif who has a ma'rifat. He was actually Ustaz al-Urafa. And they're right, so many of his students are arif today. So he said that I love Dua Khumail. All the duas are good, but basically the best of those which I, what I love is Dua Khumail and Munajat al-Sha'baniya. So this is the Irfani perspective, you know, which is beyond the regular person's viewpoint. So here in Munajat Sha'baniya, the Ma'soom alayhi salatu wa salam is teaching us, Ilahi habli kamal al-intita'i ilayk. Oh my Lord, give me the perfect breaking away towards you. That's what we are discussing tonight. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we become Ahlullah. We belong, we end up becoming belonging to Allah. We get connected to Allah alone and get disconnected from everyone and anything other than Allah. It doesn't mean that we stop fulfilling our obligations towards our wife and children, our spouse and children. You know, when we talk about on those lines, some people have a wrong, you know, concept about Islamic teaching. You know, Islam is a religion, taking care of your spouse and children is part of getting close to Allah, because this is also ibadat. Isn't it right? It's part of the ibadat concept. Marriage itself is ibadat and Islam is a worship of God. We don't believe in those people who promoted the study basi. Isn't it right? Islam, in the religion of Islam, we find our Prophet married, and our Imams have married. They led a life which was social in nature, living in the society without getting into the society. That's what Islam asks us to do. So doing your obligations towards your spouse and children is an ibadat of Allah. That's not what we mean. We mean to break away from every attachment that blocks you from your duty towards Allah. Any kind of attachment towards things of this dunya which is not allowing you to do your fariza and duty is called attachment. So we are seeking Allah, oh my Lord, give me the most perfect, the perfect inqita means perfect breaking away from everything towards you. Habli kamala inqita'a ilayk wa anir absara qulubina, and make the vision of our soul, our souls, in other words, make the vision of our souls illuminated. وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارَ قُلُوبِنَا بِالْضِيَاءِ نَوَرِهَا إِلَيْكِ, illuminated with the illumination and the light of you looking to us. If Allah looks towards us with the look of mercy, our destiny gets changed. One look of Allah and one look of the representative of Allah, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. One look of mercy, nadratan rahima, what we call, is enough to change our destiny. So, that's how our vision of the soul gets illuminated. other apsara qulubina billiya inadari. Hatta takhrika. Okay, what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at somebody, you know, and his vision of the souls get illuminated with the divine light? Then what happens is that hatta takhrika absarul qulubi hujaban nur. So that the vision of the souls, that nur in your souls will now be able to rip apart all those curtains which are available that block you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the realities. So there are curtains available, hijabatun tulmaniyya and hijabatun nuraniyya, the curtains belonging to the darknesses which are related to our sins, which are related to the attachments of this material world. Everything which is related to the attachments of this material world is vulmani and dark. And then when we depart the material world, we have hijabatun nuraniya. We have the hijabat and curtains belonging to the world of light. But they are still hijabat, which are still blocking us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the love of Allah, isn't it right? How to get close to Allah, end up having the love of Allah in our souls, which guarantees our spiritual success. So the hijabat al-nurani also need to be ripped apart. Didn't the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say in his hadith, As-sujudu ala turbatil Husayn yakhriqul hujab as-sab'? That means doing the sajda on the turbat of Imam Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam, it rips apart the seven curtains. That's why we care about carrying the turbat of Imam Husayn. Some of the buzurgan and great personalities of our religion, they always carry the turbat of Imam Husayn in their pocket with them. It has barakat. This is not an ordinary soil, the soil of paradise. They always used to say, Imam Rida alayhi salam, whenever he used to send, it's narrated in the history, whenever Imam Rida alayhi salam used to send a gift to one of the mu'mineen, he used to put some turbat of Imam Hussein in that gift.
Baba de Bulan Salawat!
So the love of Allah, when it comes in the hearts of His beloved servants and they become beloved servants of Allah, Awliya Allah, we find Allah always supports them and helps them and makes them successful and victorious. Just like Allah did towards Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, providing his hujjat, his evidence for Prophet Ibrahim. Tilka hujjatuna ataynaha Ibrahim. Isn't it right? So Allah supports His beloved servants by assisting them through His hujjat. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said to, every beloved servant of Allah, the higher he is in his taqarrub and closeness to God, the bigger of the enemies he will face. So Prophet Ibrahim was the second highest messenger of Allah. So he faced one of the biggest enemies of the history of humankind, Namrud, lighting up this fire for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we find that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Namrud that my Lord is the one alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet, is the one who gives life and gives death. Ihya and imata is the sole attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Namrud, rahmatullah alayhi, what he did, he said, well, I can bring, he brought two people from his, into his darbar and court. One was in the jail, sentenced to death, and he said, okay, I free this person. This person who was sentenced to death by him, he set him free. So he said, I gave him life. And one person who was innocent, who had no crime, he gave the decree and the ruling that this person should be killed. He said, I am also giving life and giving death. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam realized how jahil and ignorant this person is, that he failed to understand. He is on the kamal al-jahil. This is the peak of ignorance. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was afraid that the people, the mustami'een, the audience available may not get misguided. That's a very important thing. People are so simple-minded. In Arabic we say, al-awamu kal-an'am. People are like cattle, you know, like sheep and cow and goat and animals. Most of the people don't use their intellect properly, and they get driven away by different babes and different leaders and different people who are calling towards different paths and ways. Very less people use their intellect and have the awareness-based decisions. That's why this is one of the simple-mindedness people. That's why the scholars say that who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam? It's not only Yazid. It's not only Yazid who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's the simple-mindedness of the people which was part of the crime that a person mal'oon and cursed like Yazid could end up finding so many supporters. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the son of the Prophet, ended up finding so less number of supporters. It's about simple-mindedness, which is part of the crime. This is what we are talking about, to increase in our awareness. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing the time of ghaibat, the time of occultation for the Imam. One of the wisdoms our scholars say for this period is that all the false claims of the mu'mineen will appear to be, you know, in their real form. Whatever, so many people are making claims that I am a lover of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. We love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Okay, fine, here's the time. Prove it. The agenda of Imam Sahib Zaman is there. Then Imam Hussein gave his blood to protect the Sharia towards the Qiyam al-Ilahiyya, the value system of Allah. Isn't it right? The values are there. How much you are caring for these values and uplift of the kalima of Allah, the word of God today, in front of the Tawhids of today. Fine, here is the Sharia, here there are the values, here is the Quran, here are our principles. What are you doing towards the uplift of this Sharia, which is amanat and entrusted trust of Allah? So let's find out who has a false claim. And we, Imam Mahdi al-Islam, has no different agenda. The same agenda of Rasulullah, his great father, the same Quran. Isn't it right? What are we doing towards that agenda today? So we find that we have a history of isolating the supporters of Imam Sahib Zaman in Islam. Isn't that right? Imam Bakr Sadr rahmatullah alayh, who said, "Dubu fil Imam al-Khomeini kama dhabahu wa fil Islam." That means dissolve yourself in Imam Khomeini the way he dissolved himself in Islam. And he had no personal agenda, no ego. All he was asking was Islam. Zubu fil Imam, you also dissolve yourself in his personality the way he dissolved himself in Islam. Now how many people supported him? Isn't it right? For 3 days the people of Saddam la'natullahi alayhi came announcing in the city of Najaf that we have killed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. For 3 days consecutively, Saddam Mal'oon's people were coming and announcing in the city of Najaf that we have killed him, although he did not kill. And after 3 days when there was no reaction, that's where they got the courage to kill him. So isn't our simple-mindedness and our silence part of the crime? That's what we are discussing. So, Ilahi Habli Kamal al-Inqita'i Alaykum, my Lord, grant me perfect breaking away from the attachments of this dunya towards you. That's how a person becomes Allah's slave, Allah's beloved. This is how we guarantee our success. So, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Allah, when Fir'aun said that, well, I can also give life and give death, and he was about to mislead. Hazrat Ibrahim was afraid that simple-minded people available there may not get misled because of his silly argument that I also give life and give death. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam threw another evidence and delil in front of him that my Lord is the one who brings the sun from the east. فَأْتِبِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. You bring the sun from the west. فَبُكِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. That's where the kafir became in absolute tahayyur. He has nothing to, he has no answer to give now. So he was totally lost and got embarrassed. That's where when the animals and when the criminals, you know, they don't have any answer to furnish. When the deal ends, when the evidence ends, that's where they resort to force and bullets. Islam is a religion of peace, and we are the ones who promote love. The message of Islam, brothers and sisters, is love and justice and peace. We are the biggest victims of terrorism and criminal activity and victimization. And we have a right to protest and stand and say no in front of all those injustices. It's human to say no and stand in the face of zulm, because we are not statues. We are humans. It's human to take sides. We cannot just stay idle and not take a side towards the haq. Isn't it right? We are not a statue. Even the animal doesn't do that. So I'm not saying, giving the example of an animal. Because animals always take sides. What the scholars say, they have jazb and dafa. They attract and repel. They only attract those which are in sync with them and their ingrained nature that Allah provided them. And they repel those things and creatures which are not in sync with their nature that Allah provided them. So they also have attractive forces and repulsive forces ingrained in their nature by Allah. They are not neutral. None of the animals are neutral in their behaviors. So we are humans, superior than animals. We also need to follow the policy of Quran. La tadlimuna wa la tudlamuna. That means you don't do zulm and don't let zulm be done on you. What a balanced policy of Quran. What a balanced policy. So we find that this time of labor allows us to have the real mu'mineen surfacing up. Those who are ready to oppose the zulm and stand for justice today. Or those who are sakit and silent over the atrocities and crimes. This shows our ghairat and haya. How much we have ghairat. The Prophet has said, أَلْخَمَ اللَّهُ أَنْفَ مَنْ لَا يَغَارِ. صَلَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. May Allah rub the nose of the person who doesn't have ghairat, doesn't do ghairat.
Nare Hadari! Bawa de Bulan Salawat!
Muhammad. So we find that Prophet Ibrahim said to Allah, prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Oh my Lord, show me how you make the dead alive. And then we have several aqwal and statements of mufassireen, those who scholars who have interpreted the ayat of Quran. There are several statements. Some of the scholars say the reason why Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did this kind of dua to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show me how you are going to make the dead alive, is because of the fact, statement number one, because of the fact that Jibreel had already informed Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that you are soon be selected by Allah as Khalil and friend of God. Quran says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. He's the only messenger of Allah which reached that high level among the rest of the messengers that he was called Khalilullah, friend of God. So that's why we call him the second most superior after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We find that when Jibreel had informed him that you soon will be chosen by Allah to be Khalil and friend, so Prophet Ibrahim said, when is that going to happen? And Jibreel replied, when Allah will make the dead alive through your dua. And that's the reason why Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did his dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my Lord, show me how you're going to make the dead alive. That's the first tafsir. And the second tafsir says that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had the ilmul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen is the beginning stage of certitude and yaqeen. But he did not have the Ayn al-Yaqeen. So Ilm al-Yaqeen was there, but the higher level of certitude, which is called Ayn al-Yaqeen, was not there. And because he did not have the Ayn al-Yaqeen, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him reach the level which is the second stage of yaqeen and certitude, so that he can reach the level of Ayn al-Yaqeen, which means witnessing the reality. Not just learning about the reality. So that's the reason why Prophet Ibrahim wanted to reach the level from Ilm al-Yaqeen to Ayn al-Yaqeen. The very common example is the example which our scholars, so both of the kids and the youth who are not familiar with these terminologies, it's good for me to repeat that example that I always give in my speeches. The example for to understand these three levels of yaqeen, ilmul yaqeen, and aynul yaqeen, and haqqul yaqeen, is that our scholars say if you see the smoke coming next door from your neighbor's house, you have the ilmul yaqeen, you have the knowledge, you are for sure. You have the certitude and you have discovered through the knowledge that there is a fire next door, that's why the smoke is coming out. This is called ilmul yaqeen. You haven't seen the fire yet. You just have discovered for sure through concrete awareness of the evidence that there is a fire. This is called ilmul yaqeen. You haven't seen the fire, you haven't seen that reality yourself with your eyes yet. So what if you walk out of your house and you go to the next door neighbor's house and you see the fire with your own eyes? If you walk all the way and you see that reality with your eyes, that's where we call it Ainul Yaqeen. That means not only you have an academic knowledge-based evidence about the reality, but also you are now seeing it with your eyes. That's the second level of having yaqeen and certitude, which is called Ainul Yaqeen. And the last level of yaqeen and certitude is what I was calling, say, if somebody steps into the reality. He's right in it. Like in our example that we are talking about, if somebody steps into the fire, not just he has seen the fire, but he is now standing in it. So if you are in the reality, that's where it's called, you have Haqqul Yaqeen, which is the highest stage of having yaqeen and certitude. So we find Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had the ilmul yaqeen, our scholars say in the tafsir, but he did not have the ainul yaqeen, seeing the realities. Whereas Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib he says that lo kushifal ghita mazdadtu yaqeena, if the curtain is removed, it is I'm not going to increase in my yaqeen. That means everything which is there behind the curtains, Amir al-Mu'mineen always sees all those things 24/7, 365. That's the stage of Imam Ali al-Salam, where he is always on the level of Haqqul Yaqeen, which is the highest level, because he is living in the realities. That's why he has the right to claim, and the only person in the history to make that claim, Saluni Madun al-Arsh. Ask me whatever is under the Arsh of Allah. Who in the history has made that kind of claim? Who has that kind of knowledge, all-inclusive knowledge, that he can answer to any and every question that can be posed to him? سألوني قبل أن تفقدوني. Ask me before you miss me. فلا أنا بطرق السماء أعلم مني بطرق الأرض. Because certainly, because I am more knowledgeable about the paths of the heaven as compared to me towards the paths of this world. Who can ask, make those kind of claims? This shows the absolute comprehensive knowledge that he enjoys. And we find this silly guy, Anas bin Malik, was there and asking the silly question, you know, how many hairs do I have in my on my head? And Muhammad replied back to him that Prophet has informed me that, you know, beneath every, that, you know, under, in other words, with every hair of yours is there an angel. On every hair of yours there is an angel who is cursing on you, and beneath every hair of yours is a shaitan which is misleading you. This is how the people are. Anas bin Malik and Shadrat al-Khabitha, who has his family, was, you know, this is a family of crimes. So we find that that was the second tafsir about the ayat and why Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is demanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the dead people alive. And Allah says, Awalam tu'min? Don't you have iman? Obviously, we are all supposed to have iman that Allah is going to make the dead alive. We are part of part of our belief system. We believe, and the day of judgment, that Allah is going to make all the dead alive. And before the day of judgment happens, Allah created us from Adam and non-existence. So we find believing in the day of judgment becomes easy because at least we are not non-existent. When we die, we are transformed. We become fana. Isn't that right? A person, the whole, the meat and the flesh and the bones are converted into soil gradually. So the soil is still there. It's not gone. It's not converted into non-existence. It is still existing. When Allah created us, it was absolute non-existence. So someone who can create us from non-existence into existence, it's easy for him to recreate us from the existing things. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Ibrahim, awalam tu'min? Don't you have iman? And he said, bala walakin layutma'inna qalbi. That means, yes, sure, I have the iman. Yes, I have iman. In other words, but I want my heart to become mutmain and satisfied. For the sake of becoming mutmain and satisfied, he is asking that question. So Allah says, فَقُضْ أَبْعَدَ مِنَ. Take four of those birds. Now, the scholars in the tafsir have mentioned that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam has taken a peacock, taus, and taken the pigeon. That was the second bird. And taken the crow, and also taken the chicken. These are the four birds that he took. And scholars have mentioned in the tafsir that why was Taus, the peacock, chosen? Because peacock is a sign of zenith and beauty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking to break away from the zenith and adornments of this dunya. We need to slaughter our attachments with the adornments of this dunya in order to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why pigeon was chosen? Because pigeon is the sign of ulfat and our love or attachment with this dunya. And Allah wants us to break away from the ulfat and love of getting attached with this dunya. And the crow is the sign of hirs and greed towards this dunya. Some people have greed, isn't it right? Greed is one of those condemned attributes that constantly drags us towards haram, constantly drags us towards hope of dunya and attachment. Getting more into this dunya because of greed. Greed generates more of the love of dunya. If one love of dunya is enough to do sin, And if we have greed, then it multiplies. It makes us attached to so many things instead of getting attached to one thing. Some people are attached to sleep. Isn't it right? They do sins because they want to sleep more. So it's hard for them to wait for the further prayers. This is one attachment. Because they are attachment towards the sleep. It causes them certain sins only, not all the sins. There's one kind of attachment. Isn't it right? And some people have hubbul riyasa, hubbul jah, love of positions. Isn't that right? If you want to work for Islam, whether you have any position or you don't have any, you can still work for Islam. But some people have that kind of attachment. That has its own series of harams which are connected to this sort of attachment of dunya. So attachments of dunya are not just one standard type of attachment. But greed is that evil attribute of the soul that generates, that causes a person to get attached with several types of attachments of this dunya. Now you realize how bad greed is? So, we find, and the fourth animal was chicken. Our scholars say in the tafsir, and chicken is the sign of shahawat of this dunya, the lusts and desires. So, various kinds of lusts and desires that people have towards this dunya. So, the Prophet Ibrahim slaughtered those four birds and divided their, minced their meat, ground their meat, and divided all the minced and the ground meat into seven parts and put that meat on seven different mountains. Now look at the qudrat and power and strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was grabbing the heads of those four birds with him. All the four heads were with him. The meat was chopped, made into seven sections, put on seven mountains. And when he called those birds with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find in the history that the meat of all the birds were coming and every bit and particle of that bird was joining with the head of that specific bird, instead of getting joined with the head of the other bird. And once, the history says, Prophet Ibrahim tried to join one part of the meat with the head of a different bird, and it didn't join, instead it went towards the other bird. So look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that what?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we find, kadhalika, Quran says, kadhalika nuri Ibrahim malakut as-samawati wal-ard wa liyakuna min al-muqineen. That's how we show Ibrahim malakut as-samawati. Malakut means the hidden reality. The hidden realities of the heaven and earth were shown. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw the hidden realities, وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوْقِنِينَ, so he be one of those who have yaqeen and certitude. So Prophet Ibrahim was Ahlul Yaqeen. The reason why some people are compromising over their value system in front of the kufr and nifaq today is because they lack the yaqeen in the righteousness and truthfulness of the value system which they are following. So instead of feeling proud over who we are, we are trying to hide our identity and cover up our identity in front of the kuffar, you know. And when you are not even ready to protect your identity, how can you defend your values in front of them? It's not going to happen. That's what we want our kids to feel proud over, the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So my child knows that what is the benefit of believing in the walayat of 12 Imams, so tomorrow when he realizes the benefit, he will not only feel proud over who he is, but he is going to inspire the rest of the people in his universities and colleges to get inspired and attracted towards the walayat of the 12 Imams.
Hare Hadari! Hare Salawat!
My child doesn't know what in the world did I get from believing in 12 Imams as compared to this guy, you know, next door who doesn't know about the 12 Imams. What is there any difference between me and him? My lifestyle, his lifestyle, the way I dress up, the way he dresses up, the way he eats food, the way I eat food. What is the difference between me and him? Do I realize what in the world did I benefit from believing in Trailer Moms? Do my children realize those benefits? If they realize, they will cherish and rejoice, enjoy and feel proud. The reason why some are compromising is that they don't know what is the benefit in believing in Trailer Moms. It's just a ritual because my dad told me, isn't it right? That's it, that's where it all ends. That's the extent of the knowledge of some. That my mom told me. This is not going to protect our kids just because we don't teach them the evidences. And I always say in my speeches, one of our mushtahids, Allama al-Hilli rahmatullah alayh, has compiled this book, Kitab al-Fain. Isn't it right? One of our mushtahids of the history, of the glorious history of Shia religion, one mushtahid compiles a book called Kitab al-Fain, the book of 2000. Then he's composing 2000 evidences for the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. So are we short of evidences? We are full of ignorance, not short of evidences. We have 2000 evidences compiled by one mustahid of ours about the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If we don't know and my children don't know the evidences of about the imamat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then it's our own fault. And I'm sorry to say, in most of the cases, it's the fault of the parents who fail to teach their children about the deen and evidences about the imamat of the 12 imams. This is the question that's going to be asked in the grave. And then right after, who is your Lord and, you know, who is your Prophet and Qibla and book and all that stuff, then it comes down to what? To the 12 names of the 12 imams. Names of the 12 imams. Some of the kids don't even know the name of the 12 imams. And the names can only be told, my teacher said, that Allah is going to ask the simplest of the questions.
My teacher, Ayatollah Jawami Amuluhi Hafabahullah, was saying in his lecture that in the grave, Allah could have asked complex questions from the people. Who can stop Allah from asking whatever? La yus'alu amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. Allah has never asked about what He does, whereas they are asked. No, nobody can hold Allah accountable for what He does. Allah could have asked the most complex questions about the Islamic belief system in the grave. Tell us about the belief of Shafa'at. Tell us about the belief of Allah and Qadr, the divine destiny. It's a very complex discussion among scholars. Huge piles of books are available to talk about the subject of divine destiny, Allah and Qadr. Allah didn't ask those complex questions. Instead, He's asking the simplest of possible questions. The name of God, who's your God? Who's your Prophet? What are the names of the imams? Now why do we find that a huge majority of the believers, huge majority of the Muslims are unable to respond to the simplest of the questions? Isn't there a question mark to our conscience? Because we fail to obey those 12 imams in our life. When you are laid into the graves, you are now part of Alamul Malakut, the world of hidden realities. You can only say what you have practiced. Whatever you did not practice, you cannot dare say it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to practice, it becomes part of your soul. So you can only mention the name of the 12 imams. My children can only mention the name of the 12 imams in front of the angels of Allah only if they had practiced the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam back then in the life of dunya practically. Not just as a lip service that I believe in the 12 imams because my mom told me. This is not going to empower us. So, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That's how we showed Ibrahim. That's how we show Ibrahim the hidden reality, malakut of the heaven and earth. وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُقِينَ. So the narration, now in the tafsir it says that Allah showed him so that Ibrahim looked towards the arsh and throne of God, and next to the throne of Allah, Prophet Ibrahim found a very, very illuminated noor. And he asked, what is that noor?
And he was told, this is the nur of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now the curtains are removed and he had been shown the realities, so he starts seeing those things.
When he saw next to the arsh and throne the nur of the Prophet, and then he found there's another nur right next to it, and he inquires about that second nur, and Allah tells him, that's the nur of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then he finds a third nur next to those two, and he inquires about the third one, and he was told that this is the nur of Fatima, which is next to her father and husband.
Allahumma salli ala.
And then he finds two other nur close to them. And he was told, these are the nur of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then he finds nine different nur which were surrounding around these five nurs. And he was told, these are the nine imams from the lineage of Imam Hussein, which are the Hujjat of Allah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then he found that there were so many nur surrounding these lights, these nurs. And he inquired about those. Who are those so many? And the Prophet Ibrahim was told, these are the nurs of the Shias and the true lovers, the lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And that is where Prophet Ibrahim did his dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Quran says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ, that certainly Ibrahim was among his Shias. And this is one of the two statements in the tafsir. The second call and statement says that this dhamir and pronoun returns back to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. It's referring to Imam Ali, because Prophet Ibrahim is one of the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because when after seeing the nur of the Shias of Imam Ali surrounding Imam Ali alayhi salam's nur, he prayed to Allah to make me one of the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
بلند
صلوات اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد. He's proud to become a Shia and true follower of Imam Ali. This is something that is there any other option for us who are given this ni'matul uzma, the greatest ni'mat of Allah, to believe in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, not to teach to our children the benefit of this walayat? The benefit of this walayat, this one of the benefits I will mention and move forward towards the end of my speech, one of the benefits only of this walayat is what is mentioned in the ayat of Quran, in the story of Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
One of the benefits is that what Prophet Musa says, Allah says in the Holy Quran about Prophet Musa, Rabbi bima an'amta alayya falan akuna zahiran lil mujrimin. O my Lord, for the sake of the ni'mat that you bestowed upon me, I am never going to be a supporter of the criminals. That's what our scholars say in the tafsir, that anybody who believes in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, your practical behavior will prove whether or not you believe in the walayat of that personality who is the personification of the divine justice phenomena itself. You want to learn what justice is? Look at Imam Ali alayhi salam. Whatever he does is justice. We learn the whole concept of justice by looking at Imam Ali alayhi salam. So in Arabic we don't say Aliyun Adil only, we say Aliyun Adl. He himself is the justice. Not just he is an Adil, a just person. That's a very low statement about Imam Ali alayhi salam. In Arabic, we don't use that word. We say, Aliyun Adl. Hablul Masdar al-Zat. You know, this is what
which shows the mubalagha, that it shows how much a person is into it, because the whole master and infinitive is used for that person. So Imam Ali Islam's walayat will empower us practically to distance ourselves from all the criminals of this world, instead of puttering up and doing tamalluk towards the tabuts to save our dunya. Isn't it right? There are so many Islamic centers who are doing this today. So many organizations who are doing this today. So we find this the least. رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. So we find that the Rabbi Prophet had 7 rocks in his hands. And the rocks were doing the tasbih, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasbih of Allah subhanallah. The rocks were speaking loud and clear, in clear words, subhanallah, doing the tasbih of Allah in the hand of the Prophet. And Prophet gave those 7 rocks into stones, into the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the rocks were still doing the tasbih of Allah. Then the same rocks were handed over to the hands of Imam Hassan and to Imam Hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the rocks were still doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, Umar ibn Khattab was there, and he took those rocks and he recorded it into his hands, and he said, and they would obviously, there was no voice of the sea. So that's where he said to the Prophet that, what's the reason the rocks are speaking in some of the hands, it's not speaking in some other hands? So Prophet said, they speak in the hands of only the messenger of, or the wasi and khalifa of the messenger. So it's a miracle that when the rocks come in the hands of the Prophet and the hands of the wasi and the genuine khalifa and deputy of the Prophet, they will start doing and speaking the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So we find that Prophet has said in his munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, Prophet has said, and yeah, it's the first istafaita Adam wa karramtahu, you chose Adam and you honored him. Wa ittakhadhta Ibrahima khaleelan, you chose Ibrahim to be a friend. Wa kallamta Musa takleeman, and you talked to Musa. Wa ja'alta Isa ruhan, and you made Isa to be your spirit, your soul, ruh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back to the Prophet that, I chose istafaytu Adam li'annaka kunta fi sulbihi. I chose Adam because you were in his lineage. Wattakhadhtu Ibrahima khaleelan li'annaka kunta min naslihi. And I chose Ibrahim to be a friend because you were in his lineage. Wa kallamtu Musa takleeman, I talked to Musa because bi dhikri nu'utika wa sifatika, because Musa used to mention your attributes, your nu'ut and sifat. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to talk to him. And ja'altu Isa ruhan li tabshir al khalq bi sur'ati dhuhurika, I chose Isa to be the ruh because he gave the basharat and the glad tidings to the people about this quick arrival of yours. This is the status of Rasulullah. But we find that the ummah of Rasulullah, look at how the ummah has behaved towards the son of the Prophet. Despite the fact that the Prophet enjoyed the highest status, superior than all the previous messengers, but we find that the children of the Prophet are stranded in the desert. And in the night before Ashura, we find that in that night, if you can see in the Qiyam, in the tents of Ahlul Haram, the holy personalities, every mother is preparing her kid, her child, to be prepared to serve and to sacrifice for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Because every mother wants to be successful in the eyes of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, in front of her. Every mother wants to save a face that can be shown in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are preparing their children for the isar and jihad and sacrifice in the favor of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And we find that the khayma and tent of Hazrat Zainab was no different. Because she is also preparing her two sons, Aun and Muhammad, for the same reason. As she was, our scholars have said, which I am paraphrasing in my own words, that she was talking to her kids, Aun and Muhammad. You know that your paternal grandfather is Ja'far al-Tayyar. Isn't that right? And Ja'far al-Tayyar will be called, al-Tayyar means the one of fire. Because Prophet has said in his hadith, that al-Tayyar fil Jannah wa zul Janahay. That Tayyar talking to Prophet Hazrat Ja'far alayhi salam, that he is in the paradise and having two wings. Prophet said about Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, the brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So his two hands were cut in the battle of Mauta. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded two wings to Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar. So he's flying in the paradise with the two wings that Allah gave him. So Hazrat Zainab is teaching her children. Look at how she's talking to her children. Encouraging them to sacrifice tomorrow. And you know that your paternal grandfather is Ja'far al-Tayyar. And you know that your maternal grandfather is Haydar al-Karrar. Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? So, that kind of lineage, and if you happen to reach, to get close to the water, don't turn towards the water, because even Ali al-Asghar is thirsty. Look at how she's preparing her children. So, Aun and Muhammad are prepared by Hazrat Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa, and tomorrow, obviously, when the day of sacrifice, day of Ashura arrives, obviously, that's the day when everybody is going to be shaheed. All those people will be shaheed. But now that Aun and Muhammad, the children of Hazrat Zainab, come towards their uncle Imam Hussain alayhi salam to seek permission, it is so hard for Imam Hussain to allow them. Obviously, he knows that everybody is going to become shaheed. But, it is so hard to allow the kids of your sister, to go there. The one who goes through that situation, only that person can understand. We cannot understand the sorrow and pain of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Only he is the one who is going through. Only he can understand. Imam Hussain did not allow Aun and Muhammad. And finally, we find Hazrat Zainab is so much prepared. She comes herself to her brother. And obviously, she comes with a confidence, our scholars say. That a confidence that Imam Hussain never rejected what Hazrat Zainab has ever demanded from her brother. With that confidence, Hazrat Zainab comes forward and comes to her brother and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and she asks him to allow her children, Aun and Muhammad, to go. And finally, Imam Hussain had to allow, and he allows Aun and Muhammad. So now these two young warriors are now prepared to go. And obviously, they have a teacher like Abu Fadl Abbas, was their teacher. Now, on one horse, Aun is sitting. On the other one, Muhammad is sitting. They go both towards the battlefield, and they start challenging the enemy. And in those words, that one of those says that, my grandfather was Ja'far al-Tayyar. Allah provided wings for him in the paradise. And if we get become shaheed, Allah is going to provide the wings for flying for us as well. And the other one says, do you think the religion of the religion has become without any warith and inheritor. As long as I am there, then we are going to protect this religion, in other words. And we find that these two great warriors, they go ahead and they do their battle. And finally, when they become so much injured with their injuries, and they finally fell down. And Imam Hussein cannot bring the corpses of those two together on his own. So he asks Abul Fadl Abbas to accompany him, and Hazrat Abbas goes along with him. And now we find that one of the janazah was brought by Imam Hussein, the other's janazah was brought by Abul Fadl Abbas, and Hazrat Abdullah goes and tells to Hazrat Zainab that Honor Muhammad have come back. Hazrat Fizza tells Hazrat Zainab that Honor Muhammad have arrived back. Hazrat Zainab is not ready to go and see them, because she says, I did not send them to come back. Hazrat Fizza says, go and see them. So now, when Hazrat Zainab finally comes there and discovers that both of her children and their janazah has actually arrived, and they became shaheed, she performed shukr towards Allah. Obviously, she is doing, she did her sacrifice towards her brother.
وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَهِي بِحَقِّ الصَّخْرَى وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا وَالسِّرِّ الْمُسْتَوْدَعِ فِيهَا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نسل الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن أسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.